My name's Andrea Smith, and it is a joy to be able to worship with you this morning, although it's a little different than what I had originally intended. I am doing a video message with you because our airfare airplane back to the United States was canceled because of all the weather that's been going on up and down the East Coast. So we found out after about 6 or 7 hours in the airport that our flight was canceled. And so we're still trying to solidify when our flight out is going to be. But this is not ideal to be videoing the message. However, I was so excited to start this new message series with you that after talking with a few of the staff, we decided that we would do it via video and we would try to worship together this way because we're starting this new year and we have this really cool series called Fixer Upper. And I believe that that's something that we each can do in our own lives. I've heard recently so many people talk about being disgruntled when they use social media because they look at everybody else's life and it always looks perfect and like everything's coming together for them or everything's always so positive and it just makes them feel lesser than. And actually, the cards that we gave out at the Christmas Eve service and we asked you to put some ideas for future message series, I found it really interesting that a consistent theme among all of the cards that you all filled out was contentment. How do we be content with who we are, with where we are? And so that actually weaves in perfectly with this message series that had already been planned called Fixer Upper. Fixer Upper is this really popular TV show that is on HGTV. The stars are Chip and Joanna Gaines, and the show has been very popular for several years. In fact, now I believe that they are in their last season, and that has caused quite a stir because it's still in the height of its popularity. But the stars of the show, Chip and Joanna, what they do is they go into a house and they assess all the things that need to be changed to make the house like a wow for its current time and to make it relevant for the people that are going to live there, to make it livable, to make it a home. And so one of the things that they do is they engage in demolition. So today is the first Sunday of the series, and we're going to talk for a few minutes about demolition, and then next Sunday we're going to talk about remodeling and rebuilding and what that looks like, and then the final Sunday of the series we're going to talk about finishing touches. Now, we're not going to talk literally about doing those things to a home because frankly I don't know that much about that, and we are going to show you some clips from the show. But, you know, remodeling, demolition, rebuilding, finishing touches, those are all topics that are very relevant to us in our own spiritual lives. Maybe we don't think about it, but today, this first Sunday of the new year, is a great Sunday for us to look at it together, to think about it, and think about how if we want this new year to be the best year yet, and if we want to be our best selves yet, then those are three things that we each can do in our own spiritual lives to make this upcoming year the best ever. We can look deep within ourselves and see the things that are getting in the way of us being at one with God. And so then we can demolish those things. We can rid our lives of those things. The second thing is we can begin remodeling and rebuilding. And then the final stage of that is putting the finishing touches. So today we're going to talk a little bit about demolition. Now, if I was there with you in person, I planned on taking like a hammer or crowbar or a sledgehammer and just whacking a piece of plywood and putting like this big hole in it and then asking you if you've ever done that. Have you ever taken the time to actually demolish something? And if so, how did you feel? You know, many years ago at Williamson's Chapel, when I was the associate pastor there, when Hurricane Katrina hit, we decided that we wanted to be early responders. So we took this class through the United Methodist denomination. It was about 8 hours. And at first I thought, this is the stupidest thing ever. Why do we need to sit through 8 hours of training to be able to go into flood flood-ridden regions and places and try to make a difference. And what we learned through that training was that actually that training was really important because there were lots of different parts and pieces that come along with the helping of people in those floodplains. The first thing was demolition, and how if you aren't careful, you can actually hurt yourself while you're trying to demolish the home. And so there were all these rules about safety and precautions as we went through that training. But the most important thing was that we were cognizant always of what we were doing. That we weren't worried about what we were going to be doing next, or we weren't focusing on what somebody else was doing, but that as we were in the middle of that particular setting at that particular time, with whether it was a crowbar or a hammer or, you know, just whatever tool it was that we were using, that we were focused exactly on that. So for the next several weeks, I would invite you to do that with me, that where there are daily devotions that go along with this message series, but I would invite you to read those devotions and then let's do some internal searching. How can we be our best selves? And the first step in that is demolition. Chip and Joanna talk about that in their series. And so I want you to take a look at this clip right now from the show Fixer Upper and listen closely to what they say about demolition.
You know, it's 100 degrees outside, the sun is scalding things, but you know what, I don't care, today is demo day, baby. Let's blow it up. Excellent, thank you, sir. I've been to a few going out of business sales that said everything must go, that they kept more things than we're about to keep at the Meek Project. The plywood, the exterior siding, the roof, the electrical, the plumbing, it's all going.
Chip?
Yeah, babe.
What are you doing?
Tired of messing with this dadgum stairwell.
Wait, are you pulling this down with the truck?
You know, horsepower back in the day actually meant a horse pulling something. You know what this baby's got?
What?
300.
Can I do it?
Let's see what you got. I mean, I get a kick out of demolition. I mean, I honestly should have been a demolition expert. It's gonna let loose, and when it lets loose, you gotta get after it.
I don't want to do it anymore, Dad. Please don't make me do it.
Come on.
Okay, ready?
All right, let's go for it. Show me what you got. This is it. That's the sound you're looking for. Let's go. Come on. Go, 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 go. Stop, stop. Nice.
Yay!
Nice work!
The shell of the barn is staying. And that's it, my friends. Chip, we just took down that whole thing and you didn't even have to sweat.
So I want you to hear this passage of scripture that is found in Ephesians. It's from this guy named the Apostle Paul. He was one of the earliest followers of Christ and is actually the person that we attribute such a large part of the New Testament to. He was writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, and he really wanted them to understand that they needed to embrace not just the teachings of Jesus, but to embrace Jesus, that even though he wasn't there in physical form anymore, his presence and his spirit was still very much alive and active. So in this letter that he wrote to them, he said these important words, and there's a part at the end of this that I want us to pay close attention to, because I think we miss out on it. And then after we read it, I want us to wrestle with it for just a minute, because it has some pretty serious implications for us as we go into a new year and as we embrace on a spiritual journey. So hear these words from Ephesians. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So let's talk about that for just a few minutes. So what is our deceitful self? Well, that's the part of us that doesn't want us to be you know, happy and fulfilled and at one with God. There's this thing called theosis, and it's something that came from the early Eastern Orthodox Church, and it was then given to the Western Orthodox Church. But we have perhaps walked away from this concept because it makes us a little bit uncomfortable. But theosis is actually the process of us becoming like God and becoming like the divine. And that's actually what we're created to do. That's what salvation is. Salvation is transformation. And we were created in the Imago Dei, in the image of God. And part of this whole purpose of our life is to go through this life, to go through this journey, to rid ourselves of all the things that get in the way of us being like God and become more like God. So that's this process called theosis. And actually, that's what Paul is writing to the people about. And he's saying, you know, you have to put away your deceitful selves. And whether we like to admit it or not, we all have a little bit of that inside of us. You know, whether we try to be upstanding and honorable and honest, you know, there's good and there's evil, and both of those battle inside of our brains. And so we each have a part of ourselves that is a little bit deceitful. So I want you to think for just a second, what is something in your personality and in my personality that causes us to be deceitful? What is that that we can demolish from our own lives, get rid of, so that we can be happier, we can be more at peace, and we can be more like love? And love is God. You know, if God were able to be with us now, if Jesus were incarnate, walking among us, Jesus the Emmanuel, Jesus the incarnate, if he were here with us now, one of the things that he would say to us is that God wants us to be mirrors, and we would be mirrors like the divine. We would be mirrors of the divine. That basically what you and I would be as we go through life would be this giant mirror reflecting for other people who God is, what God is like, and what we are like in the image of God. So basically, we would be like God here on earth for other people. But in order to do that, we have to rid ourselves of the things that get in the way of that. And that's the hard part, because, you know, we don't really like to admit what our faults are. We tend to make excuses. We tend to project what we are thinking about ourselves actually onto other people and making our faults somebody else's. Very rarely do we go into something and say, you know what, I was wrong and I really screwed up here and I'm sorry. We try to over-glamorize ourselves and then project our junk and our crap onto other people. And that's one of the things that Paul was saying, is that we need to get rid of our deceitful selves. We need to demolish that so that we can, in fact, reflect the image of the divine. You know, God created us to love God and to love each other. And in order to do that, we do have to look deep within ourselves and be willing to wrestle with the things that make us uncomfortable. And frankly, sometimes that's hard. So for a second, I want you to take a look at this image of a mirror, and I want you to ponder about a few things. Where in your life do you reflect the image of God? If the image of God is love, then where in your day-to-day existence with your friends, with your colleagues, with your family, with strangers that you meet, with traffic on Highway 150 or Interstate 77, where do you reflect the image of God? And then, how can we also receive the image of God in our lives? How can we acknowledge that God is speaking to us and wants to be in us so that we can then reflect it to each other? Those are some pretty important questions and some things that we have to wrestle with as we go into this new year and as we look at the things that we need to demolish and then rebuild and then finally put the finishing touches on. I would encourage us to actually have some honesty about ourselves. We like to not look at our faults. We like to look at all the good. And frankly, sometimes our faults hit a little bit too close to home, and we start feeling really insecure and inadequate when we recognize that we have them. But that's that whole part of the process of transformation and the part of change that we can have if we are working towards reflecting the image of God. You know, this week, as Scott and the kids and I were away, we took this dune buggy trip around the island, and a part of it was to drive through some of the desert, but it's rainy season here, and so we ended up driving through some mud puddles. And we were trying to decide if we were going to put images on social media and, you know, which image would we put. Social media is always not always, but often looked at as a bragging place. And I would never want people to perceive that. But we do love our family, and I do like putting a picture of our family on there periodically. And so we decided that instead of putting this perfect picture of us, we would put this imperfect picture of us, and we were actually covered with mud. Now, I don't enjoy being covered in mud. I certainly was never a mud wrestler in my former years prior to being a pastor. And so I've got to admit, the first time we drove through the mud puddle, it was unavoidable. And Andrew was in the dune buggy with me, and he was just dying laughing. He loved it. And I was like, oh my gosh, oh, this is nasty. This is so gross. And he's like, you've got to loosen up. You've got to lighten up. And so we kept driving, and then there was this other big puddle, and we drove through that. Then I switched cars, and Lane was with me, and we drove through another puddle. And by the third time we went through the puddles, we were all laughing, but we all were also covered with mud. Finally, we stopped at this beach, and we got in the water, and we washed all the mud off, and we went about our day. But you know, there were always some remnants of the mud on our clothes and on the cars that were with us. We just couldn't get all of the stains out. That's sort of like what we are in life. We go through this thing called life, and we encounter things, and we have personality characteristics and attributes that cause us to be like we're covered in mud. And, you know, we don't like that. We don't want other people to see us like that. But, you know, it is what it is. And we're all real, and we all have struggles. We all have things that cover us up that we don't want other people to see. But if we'll acknowledge that and be vulnerable with each other, and also recognize that everyone, absolutely everyone, is created in the image of God, then that'll be okay. You know, ultimately, that's why we put that picture on social media, because a colleague friend of mine told me a few months ago, I hadn't seen him and spoken to him for a really long time. He asked me to lunch. I went with him, and he said, you know, how's your family? How are your kids? And he said, you know, they always look so beep perfect. And beep is a cuss word that I won't share with you, but preachers do cuss sometimes. And he said, your family always looks so beep perfect. And he said, I don't understand that. And I said, well, that's the biggest farce ever. We're the most far thing from perfect that I can possibly imagine. We argue, we struggle with things, we hurt each other, we laugh together, we cry together, but we're not perfect. And he said, well, you know, if I look on social media, that's what it appears to be. And so instead of personifying that image, this is the image that we put. That's the true storyline of the gospel. God doesn't love us if and when we change. God loves us so that we can change. You know, in this new year, you and I all have some things that we can demolish in our personalities and in our lives so that we become those true mirrors and those true images of God. Will you join me, and will you dive into being a fixer-upper? And will you look this next week intentionally, day by day, at things that we can take away from ourselves so that we can reflect the divine and we can reflect the image of love? Amen.
Okay, everybody, let's say a prayer before we leave. Father God, Lord, thank you for the start of a new year. And we just ask that whether we need to demolish and start over or rebuild a little bit, that the foundation is you. And Lord, just plant yourself under our feet so we can grow and be the people that you call us to be and the people that you would like us to respond to who you are and what you have for us. So, Father, we ask that we start this new year out. Be all around us and be with us and keep us safe until we come again next week. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Everybody, thanks for coming out. Thanks for braving the cold. You're all tough. Have a great one, and go Panthers. Bye-bye.
All right.